Welcome to the Fit and Fabulous podcast with Dr. Jamie Seaman. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Jamie, and welcome back to the Fit and Fabulous podcast. It is so wonderful to have you back today. I have an incredible guest that I would like to introduce to you all. Her name is Megan Lyons, and she is a Harvard graduate, MBA, and former management consultant who left the business world to follow her passion for wellness by opening the Lyons Share Wellness in 2014. Since then, she's earned a master's degree in holistic nutrition and became a double board certified practitioner in holistic nutrition and clinical nutrition. She's amassed over 10,000 hours of international one-to-one nutrition consulting with clients. Megan's the author of Start Here, 7 Easy Diet-Free Steps to Achieve Your Ultimate Health and Happiness, a top 10 Amazon bestseller in nutrition, and runs a podcast on health and wellness called The Wellness Your Way with Megan Lyons. Megan, welcome to the Fit and Fabulous podcast.
Thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here. And I haven't told you this before we started recording, but I'm fangirling because I saw you at the Metabolic Health Summit, and I have been such a fan since then. So thank you for having me.
Well, it's an excellent plug for MHS because I will not lie, it is an incredible event that really, I think, does a nice job of bridging the gap between us practitioners that see patients and work with clients, and then clients and patients that are there and, you know, there for the science and kind of the new cutting edge stuff. So I love MHS. I loved meeting you. I just think it's such an incredible conference. So, and that's happening again. I think this year they're having it in like January, February. So in Florida.
Yes, it's on my calendar. I couldn't agree more because most conferences are either too fluffy for practitioners or way too in the weeds for the common lay audience. And I thought they did a great job of combining. So I'll be there in January or whenever it is.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because as a practitioner, we're always trying to figure out how to take what we know in our, you know, doctor practitioner brain and talk to patients about it. And I always on the podcast in my own book, I tried to do this, like, how can I say this in a way that my 10-year-old daughter could understand it? And even at our own medical conferences, you guys, we hear presentations from like basic scientists and they're talking about chemistry and all of these things that we're trying to figure out. How do we turn to a clinic room or a client and like actually translate this into real world? And I just think they do such a great job. So that's amazing. Yes. I hope to see you again there this year. So, schedule is usually built in like 7-day chunks. So don't ask me what I'm doing in 6 months. Okay. Well, let's dive in. You have had an interesting road to where you are now. Tell us a little bit about your background and kind of what led you down this passion.
Yeah, sure. I would say I didn't have one single crisis moment, but going backwards, hindsight's always 20/20. I see the threads starting to unravel from my early childhood. I've always been that hard charging, type A, Enneagram 3, you name whatever personality type, I'm that. And I put a lot of pressure on myself from an early age. So starting, I guess, with probably college. I had imposter syndrome in college, thinking everyone else was smarter than me. I don't know why I'm here. And that led me to just go harder and harder and harder. And for me, that meant controlling whatever I could control. Can I get more minutes on that elliptical, which thank goodness I don't need to spend 2 hours a day on the elliptical anymore and have found the benefits of strength training and other things. But back then, can I do more minutes on the elliptical? Can I restrict my food more? Can I eat half a protein bar for lunch? Can I get less sleep? Can I go to more classes and more clubs? Literally exactly the opposite of what was good for me in the moment, but all I knew was more. And that, like I said, led to some of the threads unraveling, major cortisol issues, which led, of course, as they always do, to downstream hormone issues, insulin dysregulation, sex hormone issues, and just generally feeling like junk all the time. So that led me to start to learn about real health. And at the beginning, I was just piecing it together on my own. I was doing management consulting, which I'm super grateful for. It feels like a lifetime ago, but taught me a lot, and traveling 48 weeks a year and doing all of this kind of like fancy corporate meetings and things like that. But on the side, I was learning about health, and that just started a fire in me. I was like, okay, this is the real stuff. I have to pivot my career. So in January 2014, I did that, opened my business, and haven't looked back since. I love it.
I've got an MBA and we're working in corporate America, and it was really just this, you know, fast pace, always busy kind of thing that made you pivot and transition.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will call myself out, but also celebrate myself at the same time. I don't necessarily work fewer hours now. I just work a whole lot smarter. I think that people, when they're listening and they might hear, okay, the answer is just leave your job and like relax. Well, that's cool. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not living on a beach in Bali, like not doing anything all day. I'm still very quote busy, even though I hate that word. My schedule's full. I do a lot of stuff. I'm just much more strategic about doing the things that I'm passionate about, A, and also taking care of myself. The body, as you know, but maybe the audience doesn't know, the body's designed to cope with stress. Hormesis is real, but we also need to let down in between. And that's the part I was missing. So the up and down now, cool. I can accomplish a lot still. And I don't have to burn myself into the ground.
That's such an interesting perspective, because I have been, I guess I'll call it a busy person my whole life. My childhood, I was involved in athletics and school, and then was a collegiate athlete, went on to medical school, had a bunch of kids. Like, life has never really like slowed down. And I think we always have this vision that at some point in our life, it will be a good time for XYZ, right? Like having a baby, I'll have more time, or this or that. And as we kind of go through our career, I watch some of my older colleagues, you know, kind of looking at retirement, but they're also kind of looking like, okay, what am I going to do if I retire? I think we have this fantasy that we're going to like just stop and slow down one day and sit on a beach with a cocktail with like an umbrella. But I don't think it ever is that way. You know, I think we have at different phases of our life, different passions, but at the same time, I know exactly what you're saying, because I've pivoted I still work full-time as a clinician, but I do this now, and it's something that fills my cup. And I figured out ways to create resiliency and to be able to live at this pace. And I personally think it's because of the way that I take care of my body and my health. So let's kind of like dive in. You said this word stress and hormesis, and that stress is a good thing. Can you kind of expand on that for the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the word that you used right now, resilience. And of course, you're harder to kill. We want to make our body strong. A body who is not exposed to stress at any time. If we expand our analogy, a body who just sits on a beach in Bali and, I don't know, drinks piña coladas is a stress in itself, but just drinks water all day and doesn't do anything, that's a weak body. So we want to teach our body to deal with physical stress, lifting more weight, getting physically stronger, mental stress, being able to really focus and churn out really great output and create value for the world. Even emotional stress can be a good thing. People get it when we talk about like a bicep. Okay, you've got to do bicep curls, and that is making little tears in your muscle in order to rebuild, but they don't get it when we think about a whole body that way. And it's just the same. As we stress and then recover, we become more resilient to stress, and then we can cope with more in the future. And that's the goal. It's not to wither away. It's just to be stronger by being smarter.
How does one find that sweet spot? Because obviously, just like most things, right? Like, it's a U-shaped curve where if you're sitting on the beach in Bali drinking coconut water versus how Megan Lyons used to live her life, go, go, go all the time, never recover. How do people find that middle ground?
I so wish I had an easy answer, like, oh, just do a handstand 1 minute every day or something like that. And I don't have that easy answer, but I do have a couple of thoughts. I do think that listening to your body is the best. But if you had told me that 15 years ago, I would have said, oh, I feel fine. And I find a lot of my clients say that too. It's like the frog in boiling water analogy, where we're so used to being in this chronic cortisol overdrive that we can't recognize it in ourselves. So if you're a data-driven person like me, I mean, I am currently wearing the Oura Ring and the Whoop. I love technology to help me. And I also understand that that can be detrimental for people if it makes you churn harder, push harder, whatever. And it also can pull people away from truly listening to your body. So what I do for myself is I do a little check-in in the morning. I start with a very short meditation. I do like two sentences of journaling. I'm kind of trying to tune in. And then I check all my metrics and I kind of cross-reference those together just to help me understand which things are putting more of a tax on my body. And again, tax on my body is not bad. It's just that I need to learn how to recover when my body's taxed. And the ideal state is to fully internalize those metrics without needing technology. But I think technology is a pretty good help along the way.
Yeah, I think it's hard because sometimes there is a disconnect between, you know, the markers and what's measured and how we feel. I followed somebody I highly respect in the fitness space on Instagram, and she had a baby recently that was born a little bit on the smaller side. And something really resonated the other day with this baby. She basically said, what gets measured gets managed. And right, cause like the baby's not going to tell her like how it's doing that day with feeding and, you know, these types of things. And I'm like, okay, that's so true. Because every point in my life where I've been trying to hit some goal, whether, and you know, we can use health goals, but maybe it's financial, maybe it's right. Like what gets measured gets managed. And that's so interesting. And you of course could take it to the extremes like anything and become very neurotic about it. But I love the wearable devices and things like that. But I guess my question would be is, what happens on a day when you wake up and it says you slept poorly, your HRV is horrible or whatever, but you're like, no, I feel good. Let's go. Like, how do you navigate that?
I think of it exactly like you said. We can think of a financial goal. I think of this like almost like a credit card. So if I had a credit card and I was running at my top balance or whatever, could I make one more charge that went over my balance and not go to jail? Yeah, I could. And then I'm going to pay it back later. But if I do that repeatedly over and over and over, then I'm going to have a real problem. The credit card's going to shut down. I don't know what happens, but I don't want to know. Some people are going to come to your house and take it away, whatever. And that's the same with our body. So if I have, I don't know, some kind of, I'm going to a boot camp class with a friend and I'm really excited and we've been planning this for 2 months and I wake up and my metrics aren't that great. Can I make one extra withdrawal? Yeah, I can. And then I'll recover the next day and it's fine. My body's resilient because I've trained it that way. But can I do that over and over and over? No, that's when the trouble starts. And that's when I really dug myself into a hole before. And I think a lot of people do.
That's a really cool analogy because how I think of it is back when I was in my 20s, you know, I could like overcharge the credit card. I didn't actually overcharge my credit card. You guys have a fabulous credit score. Okay. I'm just going to put that plug in there. But you know, I think like when we're young, we can get away with those things, right? Like staying out at the bar till 2 a.m., going through Taco Bell on the way home. And like, we can recover from those things. But I see women and I watch them as they get into their third decade, their fourth decade, their fifth decade, you know, now they're coming into menopause. And it seems like they can't do the overcharges. Like they like one overcharge and like they're suffering. Yeah. I think it's so important. Absolutely. As you go through life to kind of figure out how to be resilient from those things. But I think just biologically, as we age, we, you know, get to a point where we're living on borrowed time a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. And that's where one of my favorite slash least favorite words comes in, which is having compassion for yourself. Because the old me, that sounds super fluffy. And the new me, that sounds like really, really a nice thought for other people to have, but I'm not quite there yet. But it's true. Every time that I go back to that knowledge, that deep intrinsic knowledge of my body, this is just not right for my body today. Yeah, I could have done that class 2 years ago or 20 years ago or whatever, but right now it's not the smart decision. We're only cheating ourselves. And I look back and kind of like, you know, facepalm emoji, I'm like, you were only hurting yourself. No one cared that you ran an extra mile or that you did one extra bonus assignment or whatever I did. No one cared except me. And so often we're so egocentric about that. We're just so focused on doing more that we miss the bigger picture.
Yeah. No, I love that. You know, I think of like your, it may sound cliche, but you think about your life like a book, right? And you've got different chapters and you've got different phases. Like I'm in a phase where my kids are really busy right now. So like what those, you know, what the goals are and what the daily plan looks like, one thing. And when my kids are out of the house, it's going to look like a completely different thing. So I think it's really good to kind of tap into yourself, you know, at this moment in your life, at being realistic about your biological age and things like that. And it's always kind of reassessing, you know, where we're at and figuring out what you can control and what you can't control.
Absolutely agree.
Okay, so you had mentioned that you have a morning routine. Like, what is that and what benefit does that play into our health?
Yes, so I think it's probably among the top couple of health habits that have changed my life. I, like listeners can probably guess from me calling myself out, I wake up and I am like, ready to go. I have all the thoughts in the world. I'm like anxious right out of the gates. I feel like I'm going to take on the world. But me riding that cortisol awakening response and amplifying it, then I just feel jacked up all day. That's not how I want to feel. So I actually need to calm myself down in the morning. I think the morning routine is a really good way to balance out our natural tendencies. Some people might feel exactly the opposite. They might feel sluggish and hard to get out of bed. Well, great. Their morning routine might be designed to energize them and pump them up and all of this stuff. So I think of it as a balance. For me personally, I developed Wake Up and Go as an acronym just so that I can remember it. It's water, affirmations, knowledge, exercise, unwind, positivity, gratitude, and one goal. And how I start people is literally spending 1 minute on each of those. So I really believe everyone will be best off drinking a full glass of water in the morning. Ideally, for many, with a little pinch of sea salt, some electrolytes, maybe lemon water, apple cider
plain
vinegar.
Plain water. Okay. Yeah. You've got a little concoction.
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to go to the next level and I'm going to add some of that stuff. I like a little Himalayan salt. I like some apple cider vinegar on some days, some lemon juice on some days. Sometimes I'll go even crazier than that. But water is the most important. And sometimes when people hear that, they're like, ah, I don't want to put all that stuff in. If you're just going to get plain, clean water, I am totally cool with that. And I drink coffee too. I love coffee, but I really believe that water first is the key. So then all those other health habits after that, those are just little things designed to make me feel good. People listening have for sure heard of the benefits of gratitude, of the benefits of meditation, whatever. And I have studied this stuff over and over and over. I don't think there's one recipe that's perfect for every person. I just think having a couple of minutes, so my version takes 8 minutes. You could take 90 minutes or 2 minutes. It doesn't really matter, but a couple of minutes to focus on you before we dive into the world is really critical. And I even have clients with baby kit, like little babies running around, or I guess babies aren't running around, toddlers running around, babies crying, aging parents that they're taking care of, whatever, that are doing this. It's really, really helpful just to combat what I call NTFM syndrome, no time for me syndrome, which is what most people are suffering from.
Yes, yes. Early in my health journey, it was pay yourself first, because I woke up and I didn't have a morning routine at the time, but it was literally like shoes on, clothes on, go to the gym. And that was like my time to kind of step back from the world, get my workout in. You've got endorphins. It gives me kind of a nice challenge in the morning about, you know, getting through something difficult. And then I was like, boom, like ready for the day. Okay. So let's dissect that wake up and go. Yeah. Okay. Do you have something to say?
Sure. I'll dissect it, but I'll just say you did have a morning routine. Morning routine doesn't have to be anything. What you just said is the whole benefit. You said, I felt challenged. It was time for me. All of this stuff. That's the goal. The goal is not to check off all the 8 boxes that I have. The goal is to make you feel like a human before you do all the things for all the other people. So I give you an A+ for your morning routine even before.
It's interesting you say that, because there is usually one day of the week where I don't go to the gym, and it is, it's hard for me because it's that's like, okay, the recovery. But I'll tell you what, I wake up and I struggle with my routine then on that day, because then I'm like, oh, I didn't go to the gym today. Like now it almost like creates some anxiety for me. So then I started saying like, okay, well, I'm just going to get up and then I'm just going to like walk. And now I've tried to figure out what to do on that day, but that's so funny you say that, because it totally is. Okay, so W was water. A was affirmations.
A was affirmations. And for the person like me, you know, many years ago, affirmations were looking in the mirror saying I'm a billionaire, and then I check my bank account and I'm not a billionaire, and I get a lot of cognitive dissonance and it feels weird. So that's not my style of affirmations. A for me right now is reading a set of goals that are phrased in a more positive, uplifting tone. So I personally write them once a year. They're goals about business, they're goals about family, about relationships, about personal development, about health, about whatever you want. They're just phrased in kind of like a you got it girl tone, or whatever, like go wake up and kick butt, whatever tone you want. So I just literally read those for a minute in the morning and kind of remind myself where to focus for the day. We have 60 to 80,000 thoughts. That's the quoted number. Who knows exactly who counts these things? But 80,000 thoughts a day, we need to front load those ones that are most important to us. And that's what affirmations do for me.
I think I have 160,000.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Oh God, it feels like that some days. Okay, what is K?
K is for knowledge. So most of us are using our brains in some capacity through the day, which is amazing. I work with a lot of lawyers, and when I say knowledge to them, they're like, oh no, I'm reading all day. I'm like, okay, good. But the really emerging neuroplasticity research is showing that if we learn in different ways, our brain is much more resilient and adaptable. So if you are a lawyer and you're reading legal briefs every day, maybe your K habit in the morning is do 3 words on a crossword puzzle. Or maybe it is like learn how to do a cool new jiu-jitsu move or something like that. It's learning with a different flex of your brain than you're used to using throughout the day. It could be a podcast. It could be, I don't really recommend the news, because no matter how you feel about anything, news is pretty negative. So I don't recommend that for your morning routine, but any other way of learning something new, that's the K habit.
I love that. I have been toying with the idea of learning how to play guitar. And part of it is just that it's like something I know I have no idea how to do it, but it's different than like what I normally use my brain for. So I actually, my husband gifted me like a real cheap guitar a number of years ago, and it sat in the closet, but my middle daughter has shown some interest. So her and I were like, maybe we can learn to play together. So you guys stay tuned. I'm going to start learning some little jingles for you guys.
Yes. When the podcast intro music changes, we'll know it's you.
you guys will know, the guitar playing gynecologist. It's probably going to be a thing. Okay, so what is E next? Is E, what's E?
Yep, E is for exercise. And if someone is like you, where their morning routine is going to the gym, that's great. A lot of people are not yet in an exercise routine, or maybe they do strength training after work or at lunch or something like that. And they say, well, can I skip this part? I just recommend moving your body in some way for literally 60 seconds in the morning. So it is amazing to me that some people I'll say, well, why don't you just sit in your chair and like reach down towards your toes for a minute. They're like, whoa, my lower back stiffness all day went away. We just don't move our body in the morning unless we're going to the gym. So if you're not going to the gym, do something, stretch, roll around on your foam roller, do some jumping jacks, whatever it takes to get moving for a minute in the morning.
Okay, I love that. Okay. What's the next one? Is it up? Is it you?
Yeah, you up, we're on. So you is unwind, could be meditation, prayer, journaling, breathing, exercises, anything to tap into that parasympathetic nervous system and get our cortisol regulated in the morning. Because like I said, I'm up all day. I need to be down in the morning. And that just actually, I do more than a minute of meditation, to be totally honest, but you can start with a minute. Just focusing on the breath is super powerful.
I love breath work. Can you, you had said earlier this cortisol awakening response. Can you tell people what that is?
Yeah, sure. So we all have a very helpful, natural rise in cortisol when we wake up. Cortisol is one of the stress hormones. It is often dogged on because many people like me talk about going into cortisol overdrive and that not being helpful, but it actually is an essential hormone. We would die without cortisol. We need cortisol. It's just that the dysregulation can cause a lot of the symptoms and lead to downstream hormone issues that we mentioned. So this awakening response is very natural. When humans wake up, we have, if we had a continuous cortisol monitor, which I really would be excited about and hope comes out, we would see a natural uptick in cortisol in the morning. This helps us get out of bed. This helps us feel ready to stumble over to the water before you get to your coffee, all of this stuff. However, when it's dysregulated, it can go up really steeply and then have a hard time coming back to baseline. So that's where the unwind habit comes in. And this is also where if people find themselves continuously waking up at like 3 a.m. is a very common time. Your cortisol rhythms might be off a little bit. That's a really good sign that you might benefit from some of this parasympathetic activity.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good analogy, but and the one that came to mind was like Superman, but I'm a woman, so we'll use Wonder Woman. It's kind of like you turn it on in the morning, you ask it to like get you ready, but then if you call on it too much, you'll burn it out. It starts to lose its superpower. So it's definitely absolutely purposeful. Yeah, I know it gets such a bad rap on in social media and
yes,
but it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's good. It's required for life. So
absolutely.
Okay, what is P?
P is positivity. So I change this to be however you want to feel in the day. If you want to feel compassionate or you want to feel ambitious or whatever, you can feel however you want. But for me, when I'm taking out my dogs in the morning, I just have a Spotify playlist of songs that make me happy. Just listen to a song. I let Spotify choose whatever feels like I need for the day. And music is really actually scientifically validated at changing our emotions and helping us feel however the tone of the music goes. So I love that positive playlist, but anything that makes you feel the way you want to feel is your P habit.
I love that. And I love music when I work out, but it does have to be the right music. It's got to be the right vibe. Okay. G is for gratitude. Talk to us about that one.
Yes. So most people know about the benefits of gratitude. They are super far reaching. And even though it feels a little bit cheesy, I always say to people, what's the worst that happens if you just spend 10 seconds a day thinking of one thing you're grateful for? most of us can spare 10 seconds, even the busiest person in the world. And you might find, I've seen in thousands of clients that I've taught to practice this, you might find that you actually really look forward to that part of the day, because we focus on, or what we focus on gets our attention all throughout the day. And I use the silly analogy, if I wake up and I stub my toe on the bed frame and then I'm out of toothpaste and whatever, I just start focusing on all this negative stuff. And then the guy in traffic cuts me off and I think he's a huge idiot. And then I'm 2 minutes late and I think the world's ending and whatever. But if instead I try to plant something positive in my brain in the morning, I'll notice the more positive things as I go throughout the day. So very simple. Just think of a couple things you're grateful for and you've done your G habit. And then you only have one more left, which is honestly my favorite one as that overachiever. It's one goal. O is for one goal. And so I have whatever, 89 things on my to-do list, like most people, everyone else. But if I got, let's say, 20 of those done, then at the end of the day, I focus on the 79 that I didn't do or 69 that I didn't do, and I feel really bummed out about that. This helps me instead focus on isolating the number one priority. Sometimes it's go to bed at a certain time. Sometimes it's get this presentation done. Sometimes it's, you know, show up as a normal, happy human for my husband or whatever else it is. But that one goal helps me feel accomplished at the end of the day instead of feeling like I didn't do enough.
Yeah, I think that's important to prioritize, like, what is the thing that needs to happen today for me to feel this accomplishment? And I think it's, I'm guilty of this. I'll raise my hand for those of you can see on YouTube. I mean, it's like having too many browsers open. You're just overwhelmed because you're getting pulled in all these different directions. So I think that's such a good thing. And then back to gratitude for a second. I have always been a very glass half full kind of person. I'm sure people can maybe see that on social media. And it's really hard for me to take care of patients that are glass half empty. You know, I have patients that come in with a long list of why this and why that, and why do I feel this way? And then I'll check a bunch of labs and I'll check a lot of things. And I'm like, hey, you're doing pretty good. And like, they do not like that response. They don't like the information because they want some sort of validation for like how bad they feel. And so it's really hard for me sometimes in those situations to say like, hey, you know, like you're really doing pretty well. And you know, on the flip side of that, I'll have like a really old patient. And, you know, they're old, so we can usually find something wrong. And they don't. They're like, it's great. I can still walk. I can still do this. I can do that. You know, I think I'm doing pretty good. So I think sometimes it's just like that lens in which we view things, you know.
Absolutely.
Difference for it how the day is going to turn out.
And it's a fine line in your example. Like, of course, we never want to gaslight anyone who's experiencing symptoms, and we never want to tell them they're making it up. But some people are just wired to find a problem. And honestly, I think people would guess that I'm not that way, but I was that way as a child. I was wired to find a problem. I was definitely wired glass half empty. And the gratitude practice has changed that to me. I don't really believe you have to change who you are or whatever. But for me, I didn't like feeling that way. It felt awful to feel glass half empty. I much prefer glass half full, and with a healthy dose of realism, of course. I think the gratitude practice has helped me with that.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be bad things that happen and we get blindsided by really awful, horrible things. I mean, I'm in medicine, you guys, like in obstetrics, for instance, like it's good 95% of the time. And then when it's bad, it's like, it's really bad. And I think you always have to figure out, even through the worst things that happen in your day, in your week, in your month, in your year, in your decade, you know, how to, it's like a level of resiliency to see the good in even the worst times.
Absolutely. And one more thing on that, on the optimism, pessimism, if we want to phrase it that way, I think people underestimate the power of nourishment on our mental lens for the day. So if my body is truly undernourished, whether that means I'm deficient in protein or I have some actual micronutrient deficiency or something like that, my neurotransmitters can't function the way that they're supposed to. So nutrition, health, positivity, all of this kind of stuff is so much more connected than we give it credit for.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay, so you have done training in holistic nutrition and clinical nutrition. Give us like the big hitters when it comes to what we eat, because I think that it's very overwhelming for people, right? They're like hearing eat vegan, eat plant-based, don't eat meat, all the way to the carnivore people that are like, the plants are killing you. Like everywhere in between, I think it's so confusing for people. When it comes to nutrition and kind of all the things we've talked about, like what are the big kind of take-homes for people when it comes to what they eat?
Yeah, I got the certifications in holistic and clinical for a reason, because almost always I'm going to find the middle ground to many of these things that people are screaming at each other about nutrition wise. And so I think when you say what are the big hitters, I would focus on hydration. Very, 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 very many people are underhydrated, and that takes electrolytes, especially if you're in Texas summer like me, or you're working out, or you have more strain on your adrenals or whatever, but adequate hydration. Most of my clients are under-proteined, so they're not focusing enough on protein, and I think we'll agree on that one. The one protein bar that you ate, or the like sprinkle of chicken that was on your salad, is not going to do it for the vast majority of people. So getting good quality, adequate protein. And then I do like to focus on more on what to add into the diet. But I think when you say heavy hitters, the vast majority of people would be healthier if they just focus on getting rid of some of these seed oils, food, artificial food coloring, some of the things that when you turn over the label, it just looks like chemical soup. Honestly, I don't care at this point when we're talking about heavy hitters, if you're going to be more plant-based, or if you're going to be more keto, or if you're going to be any of the other varieties, if you focus on getting rid of some of that I hate to say junk, but I'm going to say it, that's going to be a heavy hitter. And then from there, we can fine tune. So if someone is experiencing more insulin resistance, of course, I'm going to go and look at their carbohydrate load and things like that. Or if someone is experiencing tons of micronutrient deficiencies, I'm going to really front load their vegetables and other kind of supplementation, things like that. But the heavy hitters for most people, water, protein, and then get rid of some of that chemical soup.
Yeah, it is hard in 2023. I mean, even the plant-based foods, the meat-based foods, the keto foods, like the food manufacturers know that we like convenience, and there is just, it is processed garbage like left and right. And sometimes it's hard to find whole foods. It's like,
it absolutely is. I was literally chuckling at myself today because I picked up a 100% grass-fed beef jerky, and I even looked at the packet. I was like, great, grass-fed beef jerky, cool. And then I saw sunflower oil in it after I had already eaten some. I mean, I'm not one who believes like, oh my gosh, one thing and you're going to have a problem. No, I'm much more about balance. But I chuckle at myself, like, this is my job, and I missed the sunflower oil. This stuff is just really pervasive. And I would love to think that everyone could, you know, raise their own animals and grow their own garden in the backyard, and that would be amazing. But I'm certainly not there yet, and most people are not either. That's okay. We just got to do the best we can. And I really do believe in voting with our dollars too. The more that we, in our own little way, are trying to speak about this and request to food manufacturers to make some changes, it really will make a difference, even though it feels like an uphill battle sometimes.
So true. It's so true. I mean, if you don't buy it, then they're going to have to pivot and find, you know, things that people do like, but certainly a very, very steep hill for all of us to climb. Okay, you guys. So I want to recap. I want to pivot into the semen analysis, the last portion, and I want to go back over Megan's wake up and go, because I think this is just such a usable thing that somebody listening could implement tomorrow morning. Maybe start with the W and work your way down. But okay, yes. W is water, A for affirmation, K for knowledge, E for
exercise.
Exercise. Okay, I got that one. Okay.
you got it.
U is
Unwind.
Unwind. P, yeah. Positivity. Love that.
Yep.
G for gratitude. And O, one thing.
One goal.
You want to get done that day. One goal. I love it, you guys. Yes. Wake up and go. That's so easy. Use that tomorrow. Start. I think it's such an important thing. I didn't even realize I was really doing it. I've heard about morning routines, but I always say if it's not broke, don't fix it. So I got my thing down. So use wake up and go, you guys. Megan, tell people how they can find with you or how they may be able to work with you as a one-on-one client.
Yeah, absolutely. So social media wise, I am just not cool enough for anything except Instagram. I still haven't gotten myself over to TikTok, but you can find me at The Lion's Share on Instagram, on the Wellness Your Way podcast, or my website is thelionshare.org, LYONSSHARE.org. And I'd love to connect with people. Happy to help them out any way I can.
Love it. Megan, this was fantastic. Listeners, thank you guys for tuning in. Please share this podcast with somebody who might find it helpful. We rely on all of you to help spread these messages around the world. We'll catch you on the next episode.